and welcome to our Laudit podcast. My name is Owen, and I'm a trainee solicitor here at Laudit, and I'm joined by Izaz Ali, who is a solicitor advocate. Today, we're going to be talking about software escrow agreements. So, Izaz, firstly, what is a software escrow agreement?
Hi, so software escrow is essentially, and the context of that in the legal context with regards to what we're doing, is a contract between a supplier of software and the end user who's going to be using that software, and then a third party custodian of that software. And in the example that we're going to be talking about today, it'll be ourselves and Laudit solicitors, because we do a lot of software and data escrow work, contracts to do with software itself. And then we find ourselves in a unique position whereby we're able to provide a software data escrow service whereby we can draft the agreements and hold on as a third party custodian of the source code to that software on behalf of both the supplier of the software and the end user.
And what are the different types of software escrow? Because I understand there are three different types. Is that right?
Yeah, so just in simple terms, the most important one for an end user is if they engage with a third party supplier of software, and if they have any concerns that the third party may go out of business, then they want the source code to the actual software to be put into escrow and protected. So in the event of default, i.e. the software provider goes out of business, the source code to that software is already in safekeeping, i.e. with an escrow agent, and there's a predefined agreement which sets out the circumstances for that release to take place. So that's, in essence, the most important aspect of escrow and the type of escrow. Another form of escrow would be exactly the same scenario, so it would cover the supplier of the software going out of business, but another level or layer of protection would be if the supplier was to fail to provide support or modifications or updates in a timely manner. So again, it would be, you know, it tend to be linked to a service level agreement, an SLA we refer to say that if it's a critical issue, you need to resolve this within this time period, and if it's a non-critical issue, this is the sort of time period that it needs to be resolved. So those are the sort of two key areas that would come into consideration. And then a third area could be change of control or change of ownership of the software supplier. So if they were to be bought out by another third party company. So that the third one would be the one that would be most resisted by software providers, because inevitably their argument would be to the end user, what difference does it make to you if we get swallowed up by a much larger company or organization? Because so long as we're still providing the software to you, it makes no material difference to you. So there's obviously other areas that we can look at, a hybrid operation between combination of sort of release factors. So it could be, for example, you're going about getting software built bespokely for you, and there's set stages linked to payment. So as and when they pass certain stages of that build of software, that they put all of that information and know-how into escrow, so that if at some stage during the initial stages or during the build they were to go out of business or something were to happen, at least you've got a line in the sand, so to speak, to show the investment you've made and the level of build up to a certain stage.
And what are the associated costs in relation to doing an escrow agreement?
So it's relatively straightforward. So we would rely on the fact that the parties have already got together and negotiated and sort of hatched out a license agreement of sort, or a development agreement of some sort. And we would need to refer to that agreement. to draft an escrow agreement, and just sort of ballpark figures. We do so many of these, and we've got like set prices that we charge for this. It's not expensive by any stretch of the imagination. So just take into consideration the fact that you've got a software developer. They come along and say, well, we can provide you the software to do X, Y, Z, and it ties into your organization. There may be some sort of bespoke programming work or code written for it to sort of integrate really well with your systems. And then as an organization, you become heavily reliant on this software. And you think business continuity, what would happen if this company went out of business? What would we do? And that's where the software escrow element comes in. Back to costs, we would charge about £1,000 plus VAT to draft the agreement. In addition to that, there's some other ancillary costs. So once we've drafted the agreement, on a yearly basis, we would charge an annual fee to administer the actual escrow facility, and that would be £400 plus VAT. And then in terms of modifications, so each time the developer sends us either a USB drive with all of the data recorded on there with a key to access it, there'd be a charge of £175 plus VAT for that, and then a release fee of £400 plus VAT. So if the developer went out of business and we had to get hold of a courier, get the code out of escrow and send it straight over to the licensee, that would be the cost associated to that. And then finally, a fee to read through the license agreement. So a standard license agreement, and for us to just sort of hone in and look at the escrow provisions to determine, is it just based on insolvency? Is it based on a link to an SLA? And will it be a release based on them not being in a position to provide updates or modifications in a timely manner and the likes? We would charge £400 plus VAT to do that. So all in all, if you were to sort of consider this and look at an annual fee for the first year, everything would be covered for about £2,500. And it's a small price to pay for having that level of cover and assurance in terms of business continuity. And that's really where this the system and the service that we provide stems from. I thought it'd be an opportune moment also to have a discussion, Owen, about typically what a, should I say, vanilla flavour escrow agreement that we would draft would cover.
So basically the bare bones of what will be in an escrow agreement.
Correct, yeah. So as I said, the agreement would be between three parties. So it would be the software provider, the end user of that software, and Lordic solicitors. And it would have very stringent provisions in the agreement and a warranty from the developer. The most important warranty in there would be that the developer and or its third-party licensors are the owners of all the intellectual property rights that go within that software. So it's absolutely critical and clear that all of the IP rights are owned by the software developer. Next major sort of point would be that anything that they put into escrow with us at any given time is a complete and accurate and up-to-date copy of the source code of the software. So that again is really, really important, because you don't want the developer to put in an old copy or a previous version of the code. So as and when they update it, there's a material obligation on them within, say, 14 days, 28 days to update the copy that we have in there with regards to that. Other provisions, there's usually a provision in there to say that there can be a third-party company that can access our source code with the permission of the developer and the end user to inspect the source code and confirm that it is relevant and that it does meet the requirements for someone to be able to sort of pick this up and continue with the development or upkeep of that software. So that's an important point. Other points of concern, again, for the software developer and the end user are, what are the terms of release? So what would be the triggers for release, we refer to them as? And as I mentioned, insolvency being the key one, whether or not there's any issues to do with the upkeep of it and the likes, and that's again very, very important that if they fall foul of it that they have access to it. Confidentiality is very, very important. So if the source code is released, the end user has access to that source code, but the end user cannot jump into the shoes of the developer and then become the software provider himself or herself. And that's an important one. So for example, if there's a software developer with 10 clients that have the benefit of this source code in escrow, and if one of them has the budget and has the means of, upon release to be given access to the source code, they can't take that source code and then jump in the shoes of the developer and then approach the other nine and say, "Hi guys, we're happy to be the software developer here and we can provide you with continuity and whatever," because it's a limited release. It's a release for you to get yourself up and running, but the source and everything else still is owned by the original software developer, and it's part of their assets and part of their assets of the company in effect, or assets of that individual.
So you can kind of retain access, but you can't go and sell it on further.
Yeah, so it depends on what led to the circumstances there. That's really, really important, because if it's an insolvency event, then obviously an insolvency practitioner would then be appointed. They would come in, they'd take over all the assets of the company. And it is a nightmare to sort of deal with insolvency practitioners over access to code and what have you, because you've got to bear in mind that they're not going to be specialists in this. They're not going to know what language the code's written in. They'll have limited access to the code. And once they have access, they really won't be in a position to provide any modifications, updates, or upkeep of it. So, you know, it's a case of dealing with that aspect of it in a really, really important manner. And that, to be fair, is a quick sort of overview of it and what would happen in the events of insolvency. But it's a really, really important arrangement, an important agreement, and we would encourage software developers to sort of stand in front of that line, and if you truly believe in your software and your offering, to be able to offer this additional peace of mind really to your end users, to say that, "Look, hi guys, if we go out of business, you've got the benefit of this, and you can sort of move forward with it."
I think that covers things in terms of escrow and kind of fundamentals and why the agreement's there in place and what it covers. So if you have any questions or you want to enter into an escrow agreement, then please feel free to get in touch with us and we'll be happy to help.
Thank you.
Thank you.